Welcome to Lifelines Radio, a production of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Federation. Joining us today is author extraordinaire Kevin Wilson. Welcome to Lifelines Radio, Kevin.
Thank you, Maria, for the invitation, and I look forward to the next 30 minutes.
Yeah, it should be great, Kevin. Now, Kevin, how did you come to be a writer?
Well, that's an interesting story, and I'll try to be brief. I came to the party late. My background, I'm a financial accounting, CPA background, healthcare operations. Nowhere in there is anything to do with writing other than keep it simple, keep it to the point, and keep it, keep it short. And I'll fast forward a number of years. The kids were out of the house. I had changed jobs. Instead of being in an airplane for 15 years, I actually began working 5 minutes from my house. But on one of my last business trips, I met an author on a plane, and we got talking. And she said, "Everybody has a story. What's yours?" And I mentioned something. And she goes, "You should write about it." And Maria, I'm not a let's jump into it typical type of person. And so I got home, and within like 30 days, I started writing something, and it was about related to my first book, Sully Squad. And that's when, I'm like, oh, this isn't too bad. And that's when I found out the realities of writing. I found out about terms called rewrite. For me, again, as I was saying earlier, when people want me to write something, it's tell me what's going on. But that was the complete opposite when writing a book. It was show me, don't tell me. So those two terms were very foreign to me. And I have to say, by the time I was done after multiple rewrites, and the show me, don't tell me is actually one of the things I'm most proud of, because when I hear people say, "I feel like I was there," or "I feel like I'm attached to the narrator's hip," that gives me the most pride in the work, because that was the what I had to struggle the most with.
Now, how does your faith inform your writing?
Well, it's interesting. It depends who you ask on that one. If you ask me, I say it didn't really affect it in the beginning. My first book, Sully Squad, is a young adult historical fiction about a young boy, age 15, who enlists in the army in World War II. And he serves in a fictional squad with my uncle, who's actually nonfiction. He was killed in the Sicilian campaign of World War II. So there wasn't much when it comes to spiritual or religion in there. I did, introduce a rosary. I did introduce some of the action took place, in part of a church, like an orphanage, discussions with a mother superior. So there was a brief entree into that. And my wife, on the other hand, her feeling is that God wanted you to write, and how he introduced that to you was for you to write about what you wanted to write about first, and then learn from that, like the show me, don't tell me, the et cetera. So I think that's where I'll talk, probably a little later about how the saints concept came around to ultimately many of these stories in the saint I knew. I actually, with a pad and paper, pad and a pen, sketched out many of the outlines of the stories, whether I was sitting in church before or after mass, or next to a tabernacle. So that part, this book definitely, Maria, was faith was instrumental in the writing of the saint I knew.
And so what drew you to writing about the topic of saints?
Well, I was always interested in World War II era. I was always interested in combat veterans, you know, what they had to go through, what, so I always, you know, documentaries, anything related to World War II, Korean War, Vietnam, I would all, you know, would watch and kind of put myself in that position. So I was working on the second book of Sully Squad, and I wasn't feeling it. You know, the Ukrainian war had just started, and I'm like, you know, I don't think the world needs another war book right now, even though there's more to the book than just about a war. So I was in church one, you know, I think before Mass, and I was speaking to Deacon Gary O'Connor at All Saints Catholic Church here in Albany. And we were talking about, you know, the knowledge, do people really know about saints? I mean, you got, you know, the apostles and the disciples and all, but the people really know about, you know, more current day era. And as I mentioned earlier, the 20th century is kind of where I'm at World War II on period of time. So by chance, I started, you know, Googling, you know, 20th century saints, and Maximilian Kolbe was the first one I came on, Saint Maximilian Kolbe. And I learned about his story, and it was like he's a combat soldier without a weapon. You know, he is, you know, his weapon was the rosary. His weapon to evangelize was his militia. You know, so he, you know, there was a parallel there. And then I started looking at others, and again, unfortunately, he passed away in a concentration camp, but he gave his life for another man to live who had a family. So it comes back, you know, the sacrifice, not much different than what a combat soldier may do. And then from there, I branched into Edith Stein's story, Titus Brandsma's story, very similar, and then evolved into, you know, Blessed Carlo Acutis and Blessed Sandra Sabatini of now into the 21st century. And that was kind of where the saints topic came about, and how I think it's more important, and it's more important than ever for young people, especially, to have role models, to have people they can look up to. When I was a kid, you know, I used to go to the library and read like a biography book. Then as I became an adult, I would read books about, you know, the millionaire next door or things of that nature. But I think there, you know, from a saint standpoint, I think it's very important, you know, especially today with the roles they played and the strengths they played. And as you never know, as the bishop said in his foreword, you know, God may be trying to make a saint out of you.
As far as the saint I knew is concerned, what do you hope that readers come away with?
An interest in saints. One of the praisers was there were several high school seniors, and I think she said it best. She read the story, and she started looking up more about Edith Stein, Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, you know, and not just looking in Wikipedia. I mean, she started looking, you know, on details of the saint. I think also, as Father Chris Alar has said on one of his shows, saints were just sinners who tried harder. And I think, you know, the more you asked earlier about the faith and the writing, my faith has definitely strengthened over the last 5 years, without a doubt. And it's definitely keyed into the writing now, more than 10 years ago, let's say. But I think the perseverance and of the saints and the try harder. And I think I heard this the other day, I forget who said it. It wasn't me, but God appreciates the effort, not the results. And I think that's where, you know, in our world it's the opposite. You know, you better give a good effort and you better get some results, but that's not what God says. God looks at our effort, even if it's, you know, if you're not a praying person, and out of this book, you all of a sudden, you know, maybe I'll talk to, you know, Blessed Carlo Acutis, Maybe I'll pray some. Maybe I'll take, 5 minutes. I usually pray 5 minutes. Maybe I'll increase it to 6 minutes. Something every day, a little effort, and working through the saints, their role models, because as you know, not all of them, none of them are perfect. None of us are perfect. Many of them have a past. I mean, as you obviously just look at St. Paul. But it's, I think that's just some simple movement towards understanding more about saints. And again, it's not just Catholic, it can be all religions because they were people of faith, and your faith is God. And we talk about it because I'm a Catholic, but you don't have to be a Catholic to be interested in the saint I knew.
You're listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher. We are speaking with author Kevin Wilson and about the saint I knew. Kevin, do you believe that writing can transform culture?
Maria, that's a tough one. I believe it can, but it also has to be, there has to be an engaged reader. This story, this story is the saint I knew went through Marian Press, who are great to deal with, from a publishing standpoint. And I think that's equally as important, getting the word out, shows like you have, like you're doing, getting the word out of what's written, because I think so many people today, get their information in spots on, whether it's, Yahoo or some kind of, news clip that doesn't really tell you anything. And I think books like this and books like that you write and others, when it comes to the faith, I think they can change a culture. It could be one person at a time, this could be, like any of the books that we write could go into a house, and, the mother may read it and then give it to the father. And then a child reads it, aunt, uncle, grandparents forward it on. And there could be a connection made to that book, and that book's, slowly helps to transform them. They have to change, but it gives them ideas or thoughts. And then they go off a different end and learn something that if a book wasn't written, they never would have known. So I think it can definitely transform a culture, but the old adage, one person at a time, probably the most accurate.
What advice would you give to a young person considering writing?
I think it's actually one of the most interesting questions that come up sometimes, and also in meeting young people, because a lot of, much of what I've written is geared to young adults. Obviously adults read historical fiction too. But I think the main thing is to gear it to the younger generation. I would say first begin like I did, write about what you like. I wasn't one of those people that would take a creative writing class and stare at a wall or a picture and write about it. That would have done nothing for me. So just write about what you like. Try to do a journal. It's like, write something every day. It's kind of like the old exercise mentality. If you do something every day, you're going to be better than if you do it once a week. And the same thing with writing. And sometimes, And don't be hard on yourself, because none of us are born writers. I don't think there is a born writer. You just have to constantly work at it. It's a craft. It's an art. And there's going to be times that you write stuff and as I mentioned earlier, rewrite or have someone else say to you, this isn't very good. And it's bad enough when you're saying it to yourself, but when someone else says it to you, who has more knowledge than you, you have to then have tough skin and you have to persevere. And if you give up, then I guess it wasn't something you really wanted to do. So I would definitely, if you want to write, keep your expectations reasonable, write about what you like, and and start something in school, or I know that, you know, there's plenty of opportunities to submit short stories, poetry, you name it, for young people today.
What gives you hope?
I think, you know, we live in, you know, in the secular world, you're bombarded every day with, you know, what's not working and this, that, and the other thing, all the negativity, et cetera. But I think what gives me hope is shows like this. I mean, the pro-life movement, young and old involved in it, seeing young people, you know, on TV through on EWTN, let's say, you know, at all the pro-life marches, seeing, you know, young people in church, seeing the Eucharistic conference in Indianapolis, that Saturday night when I watched it, and especially for the speakers that night, and it was a football stadium packed, and when they did the adoration, the procession, and seeing like that many people in one place, and many of them young. I think seeing, at least in the Albany diocese, there have been a number of seminarians who have come, many from Nigeria and other countries in Africa, but, you know, many from here, from the United States, from here locally, actually, and seeing their fire, you know, seeing them on fire, you know, for God, kind of, you know, waking us, you know, us older people like me up some, and giving you some, like you said, hope that, you know, the faith is moving forward. And finally, I think, you know, the scriptures, I mean, the scriptures have been around since, you know, thousands of years. And if you read the scriptures, much of what gets referenced, you can apply it to some aspect today. And there were difficult times, but people got through them. And that gives you the hope that, you know, this isn't the first time something like this has happened. It may be different because of technology, or maybe different kind of weaponry or something. But, you know, there's a reason those seven sins are still the seven sins, the seven major sins. It's, you know, it's, people haven't changed. Things around us have changed, but the actual personality of a human hasn't. And then, you know, I think finally, prayer, because, you know, I have seen prayers answered. And like most people, you know, I have seen prayers not answered. But I think the fact that like one gets answered is enough to say, you know, there's hope for, you know, but I have to apply myself. I mean, it's not just going to, you know, it's not like some genie is going to appear and all of a sudden things are going to happen. You have to work for it. You have to apply for it. It's like anything else. The more you put in, the more you'll get out. And I think, you know, those, Maria, are probably some areas that give me hope, you know, for now and the future.
Well, one of the things that I think gives me hope is the book, The Saint I Knew. It is so refreshing and it's so well done. And I'm wondering, how did you choose the people who you feature in the book?
I chose the World War II era. And again, from a historical standpoint, I want people to understand some of the sacrifices that some of these saints made, you know, whether it's, you know, Maximilian Kolbe, Edith Stein, Titus Brandsma, I mean, Pope John Paul, what he went through during the occupation of Poland. And then I also wanted to talk about some blessings. And I think, you know, when I started writing this, you know, Blessed Carlo Acutis was known, but not as known as now. And so I think he's perfect for today's young adult. And you know, for from everything from, you know, his knowledge, his, you know, the saint with a backpack, you know, kind of scenario. He loved the PlayStation. But he also, where he's different than a lot of us, is he was very disciplined. And you know, he was around with the internet was fairly new, but he limited himself to playing 1 hour a day or 1 hour a week, I'm sorry, on games that he enjoyed playing, PlayStation. I think Sandra Sabatini, if she was alive today, would have been about the same age as I am. And I think, so I had a kind of connection there with her time on Earth. And I think, you know, being where I live in upstate New York, St. Andre Bessette is just north on the Northway into Canada. And St. Joseph has been someone very, very important to me through the years. And I'm so pleased to see St. Joseph getting the notoriety, so to speak. I know it's a human term, but to be seen as men as a resource and someone to learn from through difficult times, everything that he did. And obviously, you know, through the Marians, understanding St. Faustina and the diary and her connections with Jesus are incredible. You know, Padre Pio, another incredible saint. You know, Mother Teresa. You know, some of them are more well known than others. But I think when I step through and choosing the 10, those were the primary. Getting some that were well known, some who are going to be more known, and then some that you may not be aware of.
And I think that many people may not realize the connection that some of these people played with the pro-life movement. I mean, for instance, Pope John Paul II and Mother Teresa, they wrote and spoke extensively about the right to life. And Maximilian and Edith Stein, they gave up their lives for the good of humanity. So they showed their dedication to life in that. And I think that's really inspiring.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I it's interesting. Of the 10, probably Edith Stein was the most difficult for me to write about, mainly because, you know, my background is not, you know, philosophy. It's not theology. It's not many of the ologies at all. And her story, there may be, you know, women and men listening to this were very similar. And some that need to, maybe are going through that process, but I could see her as someone who, you know, I mean, she was born Jewish, went away from the faith, became atheist, you know, got caught up in all the universities, very smart, very intelligent, but was still searching for that truth. And you know, she found it one night reading a book from Saint Teresa, and she found the truth as in Jesus Christ. And then from there, she went on to, you know, the rest of the story is an incredible conversion story. But I think what she also did is she brought womanhood not just, you know, to be a wife and a mother, but you're physically and spiritually, you're a mother to whomever you meet. It's just a part of you because you're a woman, you're a mother. And I think at the time when she was talking about it was a little different time than it is today. But I think it's such an important fact, you know, for women today. And I'm talking, Maria, I'm talking on something, you know, being not a woman, I don't know the feeling, but I would have to say, you know, motherhood and the opportunity to serve as a mother, you know, I can't think of a more important more important aspect of life that there is.
Definitely. We've got just a couple of minutes left, and I'm wondering if you can tell people how they can find out more about you and your writing.
Yes. Currently, The Saint I Knew, Exciting Encounters with Holiness, is on shopmercy.org. It's through Marian Press, but it's on shopmercy.org, so it can be ordered and purchased through there. Also, my first book, Sully Squad, is still out there, is still available. It's on Amazon, or it's on a website called softrep.com, SOFREP.com. That's a military-based website. Also, if you want to contact me for any reason, whether it's talking further or just if you're up in the Northeast and you may like what you heard and want to have some kind of book signing, or if you want a book and you're having difficulty finding it, I can point you in the right direction. Please feel reach out to me at my email address, authwills@gmail.com. So at authwills11@gmail.com.
That's great. Kevin Wilson, author of The Saint I Knew, from Marian Press, available at shopmercy.org. Thank you for being on Lifelines Radio today.
Thank you, Maria, for having me.
It's been a real pleasure, Kevin, and I hope that you continue to write and continue to share your gift with us.
Thank you. And as I mentioned earlier, please continue this great ministry.
Absolutely. You've been listening to Lifelines Radio. I'm your host, Maria Gallagher, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation. Thank you for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And remember, there's always a reason to choose life.